Well, good morning. Let's try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Cool. My name is Cale. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus, which has been up and running for 9 weeks now. It's been really, really fantastic. A great start up there. So really excited. So thank you to all of you who have prayed for us and supported us and have come there and visited and things like that. It's a little bit nerve-wracking for me being away for the first time, and Pastor Dean is down there speaking today, and I'm not sure if that makes me feel more comforted or nervous, especially with his penchant for getting weird pictures of me and putting them up on the screen and drawing on them and all those sorts of things. So I'm not sure what to feel there, but I'm sure it'll be awesome. This weekend was my wife's birthday. So on Friday, we got to spend some time together. And for those of you who know us, we've got a 5-month-old. And so you've probably seen him. So little Cade, we took him to his grandparents. So Mimi and Papaw's house, that's her parents. And they took him for the evening so that we could have an evening just off. And we were out at Texas Roadhouse. I took her, you know, out to eat, and we liked that restaurant. And it's funny to me, you know, when you have a night off, you know, husband and wife, night off, and the husband's thinking, hey, we've got a night off. And the wife is thinking, hey, we've got a night off. And sometimes the difference between those two things. And so I said, honey, you know, it's kind of a rule for guys. It's her birthday. I said, whatever you want to do, right? Whatever you want to do. We've got the night, you know, evening off. What would you like to do? And she looked at me and she said, Cale, let's go line dancing. And I said, like line dancing, you know, like that line dancing. And she said, yeah, let's go line. And so, you know, basically like what you just saw is what you get when it comes to line dancing for this guy. My wife, she's got like rhythm and spades. I mean, she was a Zumba instructor in college. She's good with that kind of stuff. So for her, I mean, that's fun. For me, you just get, like, I've got some rhythm, like some, but I oftentimes just kind of look goofy and my head does weird things. And so I said, okay, let's go line dancing. So we called some friends and said, hey, do you guys want to go line dancing with us? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, thank you very much for that. Great. And so we all went. She got her, you know, her jeans and her cowgirl boots. She's from Lancaster, Ohio. And down there, it's kind of the gateway to Southern Ohio. Apparently, they wear cowboy boots, or at least everyone owns one. I own nothing of the sort. And so I basically wore this, and we went line dancing and had a great time. And so I say that all to say, when you're in a relationship, you tend to do things that you wouldn't typically do if it were just you, right? I mean, if it were just me on a Friday night, very, very low chance that I'm going line dancing by myself. But I love my wife, and I know she loves me, and so as part of that relationship, I changed what my maybe typical behavior would be. We went out, we went line dancing, and had a great time. As we talk this morning about, we're going to be looking in Colossians, and as we talk this morning about sort of behavior a little bit, that we've been made new in Christ and that there's a new life that comes along with that, what I don't want to get lost is that all of that change in our behavior, what we pursue differently, what we stop doing because we've got this different relationship with Christ, that's all motivated out of love. You don't follow the rules and regulations and then God loves you more. God loves you, and therefore you try to pursue a different kind of life that fits with that new identity that you have. And so I just want to make sure we don't lose that, especially if you're here this morning and this is, you know, your first or second time here, or you're here and you're not a believer. We're pumped that you're here. You need to hear me say that first, that we believe the relationship comes first and then comes sort of the change in life. Don't clean yourself up and then you get a relationship. It's not that way around. And so we're in this series right now called Latest and Greatest, and we're going through the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. It was a really young church that was dealing with some new ideas, and Paul's kind of rebuking and refuting some of these ideas where he's saying, look, stick to the gospel. And so the thing that we've said every week, kind of our big idea for the series, is that just because it's new doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's new, if you're taking notes along with us this morning, just because it's new doesn't mean that it's true. The world, I don't know if you've noticed, has no shortage of ideas, right? No shortage of new ideas. And I've likened this often to the way as we as consumers have to really be discerning in what we listen to and what we take in. Just because the guy on the infomercial wants to tell you that a Snuggie is a great idea, it's not a great idea, nor will it ever be a great idea. It will always be kind of awkward. And so you have to be able to discern, okay, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. I love new ideas, but some of them just aren't that Fantastic. And so we as believers, we've got to be discerning enough to hear a new idea and say, okay, does this help me pursue my relationship with Jesus Christ, help me go deeper in my relationship, or is this actually kind of twisting the gospel a little bit? And does it actually draw me away, if I were to believe it and pursue it, does it draw me away from Christ? And so we've been kind of going over that each week, and there are really two ideas we're going to talk about this morning a little bit, kind of two ideas that follow the gospel wherever it seems to go. And you see this in scripture, you see this across history, you see it in the American church today, and that is these two ideas, we've mentioned these before, called legalism on the one hand and license on the other. When we talk about legalism, we'll talk about that one here for a moment. Legalism starts oftentimes in a right desire for the truth side of the gospel, right? You hear the truth, right? Okay, Jesus Christ is Lord, and you need to ask forgiveness, and God forgives you, and you get kind of into doctrine and theology, and maybe it starts off as a good desire there for truth, but what oftentimes happens is that Christians err to this side of legalism, where we end up caring so much about the rules and the regulations that we forget what the purpose of them was in the first place, and we forget all about grace and love and compassion and forgiveness, and it becomes very much performance-based, right? You need to perform, you need to follow the rules, and if you don't follow those, I show you no compassion and no grace and no love. And one of my favorite authors wrote something that was so powerful to me. He said, orthodoxy without compassion is ugly. In fact, there's nothing uglier than orthodoxy, right belief without compassion. When you know all the right things, and maybe you have struggled with this in your own life, maybe you've seen someone in your life who, and it just left a bad taste in your mouth because it was like, man, they had all the answers and they were so convinced they were right, but they treated me so poorly. And because I didn't agree with them, they treated me so poorly. And sometimes Christians can err on that side where we get too legalistic about things. The other side, the way that Christians also can err sometimes is in what we call license. And license is really exactly the opposite of that. It starts off oftentimes in a really good desire for the grace side and an emphasis on the grace side of the gospel where we say, man, grace, God's given you grace. He's forgiven you. God loves you wherever you are. And all of those things are true. But what it does is it takes too many steps in that direction. And it says, you know what? So much so, God loves you, gives you grace, forgives you. He actually doesn't really care what you do. You can keep on living however you want to live. And that's just not true. When you look in scripture, God, Paul says it very clearly. He says repentance, right? Is God's grace is meant to lead you to repentance. God's grace is meant to find you where you are, but then lift you up and bring you into Christ's likeness. I remember one guy saying it this way. He said, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. That God is wanting you to take steps forward. And so that's where license oftentimes errs. So we tend to do really one of those two things, right? We lean to the side of legalism. We have way too heavy on truth, forgetting grace and love. Or we lean too far to license and say, you know what? God doesn't actually care about your moral purity or your integrity. We're gonna look this morning at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And what we're gonna see, Paul is gonna say in the first couple of these verses, he's gonna really lay it out that with a new kind of identity comes a new kind of life. That with a new kind of identity comes a new kind of life. If you're here this morning and you are a believer, you at some point in time said yes to Jesus. You became a new person in Christ. And Paul's gonna say with that comes a new set of responsibilities and privileges and a new kind of life. And so Troy a few weeks ago actually talked on some of these, a couple of these verses, the latter ones. We're gonna focus on those a little bit more and take kind of a different angle at it than what Troy did. And so I hope we can glean from this passage what God has for us this morning as we talk about things that we should pursue, but more so some of the things that maybe we need to avoid in life once we become this new person in Christ. And so pray with me first, and then we're gonna look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. God, as we approach this passage, Father, it is always difficult when we read that you need to stop doing this, you need to avoid this, Father. It's difficult to hear that our current behavior is maybe unacceptable in your sight. God, help us to remember that first, this is motivated out of love, that God, you love us so much that you want only the best for us. And God, the best for us is you, and it's pursuing you with everything that we've got. And so this morning, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word, that you'd convict us in areas of our lives where we are not in step with the gospel, where our behavior and our attitudes and our words are not in step with the gospel. Father, help us to take intentional steps to change. God, help us not to be too prideful. to actually lay ourselves down before you and say, God, I need help. And I need you to change me in this area. God, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says this. Paul says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I'll read those first couple of verses again. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul gives two very clear commands in this passage. He says, number one, set your minds or set your hearts on things above. And then he says, number two, set your minds on things above. And those two things are very related. Paul is saying, in essence, there should be a fundamental shift. For those of us who call ourselves believers, there should be a fundamental shift in the things that we desire, in the things that we pursue, in the things that we delight in, and in the things that we love. Paul says these things should start to change from being materialistic, temporary things over to eternal, heavenly things. He says, set your minds on things above. Think about those things. Set your hearts, the things that you really want and desire. Set it on Christ. Set it on God. Set it on heavenly things. Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, says it this way, and I'm going to paraphrase him. He says, look, start practicing now what you're going to be doing forever and ever and ever. You're gonna be glorifying God. If you love Jesus, you're gonna spend forever with Jesus. Start living your life now in light of eternity. To put it really simply, stop worrying so much about what kind of car you're gonna own or how big of a house you're gonna be able to buy someday and start thinking more about, okay, how is my relationship with the Lord? Stop dreaming so much about what can I achieve in my life and what can I gain on this earth and start dreaming more about, have I been faithful with what God has given me? Have I been obedient to God's calling in my life? Do I feel like I'm pursuing the Lord passionately? There's got to be this shift from the earthly and the materialistic things to the heavenly and the eternal things where we're thinking about, and I'm living my life now in light of the next life, in light of eternity when I'll spend forever with Jesus. And I want to start practicing right now for what I'm going to be doing forever and ever, glorifying God. The question is why? Paul says, look, set your minds, set your hearts on things above. Why do we do that? Why is there this fundamental shift need to happen in our lives where we stop thinking about those things and start thinking about this? Paul says, guys, because it reflects a reality that's already happened in your life. There's already been a fundamental shift in you. If you're a believer in Christ, he says there's been a fundamental identity, heart level shift where you've stopped being this person and you started being this person. I love the way Paul says it. He doesn't say, look, when you accepted Christ, you changed, or you became a better version of yourself, or God reformed you. What does he say? You died. The old you was put to death and the new you came to life. You were raised with Christ. He says it elsewhere in scripture. He says, behold, you're a new creation, right? The old has passed away and the new has come. The old you has been put to death. You are a fundamentally different person. And I hope, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. That I'm not just a better version of me, that when I trusted Jesus Christ with my life, the old me was put to death and a totally new me came to life. Paul says, okay, you've got a new identity. Now you have to start living a new life. And I've been thinking for the past couple of weeks about, okay, how do I illustrate this idea of old you has died, new you has come to life. And so I hope you're as excited about this as I am. So let's say, in this made up analogy here, that you work at Taco Bell, okay? Which is now serving breakfast, which who doesn't love burritos at 9 a.m., right? So let's say in this little analogy, right? You work at Taco Bell. Some of you are looking at me like, where did he get this? So Taco Bell is a magical place that if you just ask them for things, they give it to you. So try it sometime. It's awesome. So let's say that you work at Taco Bell, right? You work there and it's cool. I mean, you like it, you make tacos, but you're thinking, I think it's time for a change. I'd like to kind of move to a different level, right? Move on, next stage of life. But you can't. You have applied and you've applied and you've applied and you just seem to be getting a dead end wherever you go. And you start to realize, you come to the end of yourself and go, man, if it's up to me in my own power, I'm completely stuck. I can't get out of this job. I can't move on. I am stuck right here. But then, let's say that's Sunday night, and before you go back to work on Monday, you get a phone call. And you get a phone call from one of your buddies, your old buddies, who says, hey man, I've heard you're working at Taco Bell, and I just want you to know I own a few Wendy's now, and I want to make you the manager of one of my new Wendy's locations. We say, well, I don't know anything about running a Wendy's, right? He says, look, this is nothing about you. You haven't earned it. You didn't do anything to deserve this. I just love you. You're my friend, and I want to make you a manager of the new Wendy's. All you have to do is say yes. And you say yes. And the moment that you do, you have fundamentally, as far as your work identity is concerned, you fundamentally changed. The old you, right? The taco maker is now dead, and you know what's coming. The Wendy's manager has come to life. You are now, as soon as you say yes to your buddy, the Wendy's manager. You put on the Wendy's apron, you put on the Wendy's hat, and he says, look, I've made you the Wendy's manager. But you say again, wait, I don't know any of the roles or the responsibilities of being a Wendy's manager. I don't really know what this means. And he says, again, it's not anything that you did. I just want to give this to you. I just love you, right? I'm just saying, yes, this is a picture of what justification looks like in our lives. When we say justification, what we mean is that you've been made right with God. And the question is, did you do anything to deserve that? And the answer is no. I was stuck before I knew Jesus. I was stuck in my own sin. I tried and I tried. I can't fix myself, and you can't fix yourself. When you say yes to God by repenting of your sin and turning towards God and saying, God, I know that I need you. God says, look, you're a different person. I've forgiven you. The old you, right? The taco maker is dead and the new you has come to life. Why? Because the person in charge said so. Because the person with authority to say that you're a new person and the old you is dead has said so. You've put off the old person and you've put on new. You are a brand new person in Christ. But that's Sunday night. Monday morning, you still have to show up and actually figure out what does it mean to be a Wendy's manager. That's what we call sanctification. Paul says it this way in chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. He says this, put to death, therefore, and therefore, right, that one little phrase means because everything I just said is true, because you're a brand new person, this is what this means for your life. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says, guys, God hates these things, loves you, hates these behaviors. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. He says, everybody was in the same boat. Every single one of us used to work at Taco Bell, if I can say it that way. Every single one of us was in that same boat. You used to live that way. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. He says, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Paul says, guys, you've got a new life. You've got to start living new. Let me ask you this question. How much sense would it make? How much sense would it make if you guys, we put on the new self, put on the new life, and then on Monday morning after we've been hired at Wendy's, we put on the Taco Bell clothes and went back to Taco Bell and started making tacos? You said, that doesn't make any sense, right? You've become a new person. You've got a new identity. You got to show up at Wendy's, right? You got to show up at Wendy's and start making hamburgers and fries. You need to forget everything about what it means to work at Taco Bell. And you've got to show up to your new place and actually start working there and figure out your new responsibilities and privileges. It's the same way in our Christian life. Paul says, guys, look, you can't show up. You can't be made entirely new and then go back to living the way that you always used to live. Paul says you've got a new identity. That means a new kind of life. So sexual immorality. You can't just keep living the way you want sexually. Your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the Lord. He says your rage problem, your anger, you let loose on everybody. He says, guys, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you became a new person. And this rage and this anger, it belongs to the old you, and you put that off. That person is dead. You got to start walking in newness of life. The gossip, talking about everyone behind their back as soon as they're out of the room, he says, guys, that belonged to the old you. That belonged to the old you, and you put that person off. You've been given a new life. You can't just go right back to this place. You've got to start walking in the newness of life. Greed, right? He says, this is crazy. He says, greed, which is idolatry. It's worshiping something other than God. In other places, it says covetousness, right? Coveting, looking at other people's stuff and saying, I need that. And I think for us in particular, where we live, this is so very prevalent. It's a constant game of keeping up with the Joneses, looking around saying, what do they have? What do they have? I need to get to the next level. I need to buy the next biggest house. And Paul says, look, you got to learn to be content with who you are in Christ, because the old you died, and the stuff that the greed, right? The wanting what you don't have that belonged to your old self, you put on the new self, and this life doesn't fit that identity anymore. You've got to start walking in newness of life. And hear me, I understand this is difficult. You say, Cale, I got a lot of old bad habits. And I mean, just because you're made new and everything is different in a moment, it doesn't mean all your struggles just kind of pass away. This is a difficult thing, and I understand that. So we've got to be very, very intentional. Paul says, put to death, rid yourselves. These are very intentional phrases. What we often want to do is we say, you know what? I'm going to turn this area of my life over to the Lord, but I just don't necessarily want to turn this area of my life. What we end up doing is something like kind of mixing and matching. If I can say it this way, we kind of want to put this part of the outfit on, and we want to put this hat on and say, hey, welcome to Wendy's, right? What would you like to order? Something about this just looks wrong, right? You look at it and you can clearly see the Taco Bell logo, but the Wendy's, and you're saying, hi, I'm a Wendy's manager and I work here. And this person's looking at you going, something's a little bit off. This is kind of what it's like in our Christian lives when we say, yeah, I love Jesus. I just don't feel like turning this area of my life over to him yet. Yeah, I follow Jesus, but sexually I do whatever I want. Yeah, I follow Jesus, but my finances are my own. God, you can't have that. Yeah, I love Jesus, but I feel no need to deal with the anger and rage that are going on in my life. I love Jesus, right? I'm a follower of Jesus, but I talk about everybody. What happens is you can see this very clearly. Something here doesn't match. And people look in our lives and they say, wait a second, you're saying that you love Jesus, but this area of your life doesn't really look like you love Jesus. And hear me out, I get it. We're not perfect, but we've got to be working on areas like this where we're saying, God, I'm turning this over to you. And I recognize this belongs to my old life and I need to take it off. I need to put it away. I can't hold on to this area of my life anymore because God, you own all of me. And I gave all of me to you and you saved and redeemed all of me. I can't hold on to this stuff. I can't mix and match because ultimately what that makes us is hypocrites. If I'm saying, God, I love you, but I'm just not willing to give this area of my life over to you, and I'm not sure that this is actually true. When I said be intentional, Paul says these phrases, put to death, rid yourselves. Look, I fully believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to change, who convicts us of sin and shows us these areas. Okay, this is an area that's out of step with the gospel, but that doesn't mean you're off the hook and that you just sit back and say, yeah, God, I'll take care of it. I think we have to be very intentional about taking steps in godliness. The way I put it in your listening guide is that nobody drifts toward godliness. Nobody just drifts toward godliness. Let me step into a different analogy here. How many of you have ever been boating, right? Three, great. If you've been boating, right, my in-laws, they love to go boating. They have a small boat, and so we were taking it out, and I was noticing, you know, we drove to the buoy, and then that's kind of where we wanted to stay, but what happens if you turn off the motor and you don't put an anchor in? You just start to drift. If you don't intentionally turn on the motor and stay right next to the buoy or anchor down and do something to intentionally stay there, I was shocked at how quickly we just began to drift. And I looked up, after 5 minutes, we've drifted 50 yards, 100 yards, 150 yards without even trying. And that's kind of the point. It's the same way in our spiritual lives. When we just set ourselves adrift, we don't drift to where we want to be. Here's the point where we want to stay. Here's Christ and what we're supposed to be pursuing him. If we're not intentionally turning on the motor and going towards him, anchoring ourselves in the truth of God, if we just let ourselves drift, we just drift away. We fall back into some old habits, some bad habits, some old practices. And you know what I'm talking about. Many of us, right? You had 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, 50 years of habits where you said, this man, I used to live this life and I didn't become a believer till I was 25 or 30 or 40 or 50. I've got a lot of practice at some of these old habits. So unless I'm intentionally turning this area over to God in my life, I just fall right back into some of these default modes and some of these bad habits. Let me say it this way. If you can't say one thing that you're intentionally doing to pursue Christ's likeness, the chances are you're not. You're just drifting. And you're drifting away. You don't drift towards where you want to be. You don't drift toward godliness. We've got to take some intentional steps. I wanted to kind of get this idea where you say, well, does that mean like the old person is still there? Look, in some ways, this is maybe the difficult part of the life of a believer. The old person is completely dead, but the old practices, and I actually rhymed this for you, so I'm going to have you say it with me. You're welcome. The old person, right? Say it with me. The old person is dead, but the old practices want to rear their ugly head. It's weak sauce, man. All right. The old person is dead, but the old practices want to rear their ugly head. The old you is dead. When Christ, this is beautiful, when God looks at you, he does not see the old you. He sees that person dead and gone. He sees the new you. He sees Jesus Christ. Scripture says that our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. But we've got to take steps to start living that new identity. And so I want to give us two this morning, two things. You say, okay, I know, Kale, that I want to stay near the buoy, right? I want to put off the old life. I want to put on the new self. I want to show up Monday morning and actually start learning, right, my new privileges, my new responsibilities, what it means to live as a Christian. How do I do that? I came up just two things that I want to make really, really practical. Remind yourself, number one, remind yourself of the gospel every day. Remind yourself of the gospel every day. I want you to say this with me. I will remind myself of the gospel every day. Some of you say, okay, I don't know about this, right? One of the phrases I heard it said was, preach the gospel to yourself. And I think some people think, well, I don't really preach, or I don't know what it looks like to preach the gospel to myself. But here's the thing. Everybody talks to themselves. Can we just be honest for a second? You talk to yourself and I talk to myself all the time, right? Whether it's out loud or in your own head. I was at Ohio Wesleyan the other day, hanging out, doing some work. And one of the ladies who worked there turned the corner and she was talking to herself. And she looked at me and went, oh, you caught me talking to myself. Without hesitation, I said, I do it all the time, right? I do it all the time. Everybody does it. You talk to yourself and I talk to myself, even if it's in our own heads. You might as well tell yourself helpful things. I'm serious, right? I mean, because here's the thing. Here's what I notice about me and what I notice about you is that oftentimes what we say to ourselves is not helpful and it's not even true. Oftentimes we fall prey to what the enemy wants to speak into our lives, which we have an enemy, and what he tells us things like these. You're not made new. God doesn't love you. You're not valuable. You'll never change. You're always this way. Even though you've worked so hard at this, right? You've made no progress. God doesn't love you. God can't love you in the current state that you're in. You need to run from God. It tells you all these things. If that's what you're saying to yourself, you need to stop and you need to anchor yourself in the truth of God and say, I'm gonna preach the gospel to myself. I'm gonna tell myself helpful and true things. I'm gonna tell myself each day when I wake up, I am a new creation. I don't care what happened yesterday. That day is gone. Today is a new day and I have put off the old person and I put on the new self and I'm gonna fight against these old practices and I'm gonna start walking in the newness of life that Christ has bought me. I'm gonna preach the gospel to myself. I want you to preach the gospel to yourself. When you wake up, you remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Tell yourself helpful things. Tell yourself truthful things. And remind yourself of the gospel every day. And here's the beautiful thing. Wendy's, you keep screwing up, you're probably gonna get fired. Eventually, I don't care how much your buddy loves you, he's probably gonna come to you and say, hey man, it's just not working out, right? I mean, we're gonna have to end this. God never does that to you. One of my favorite phrases, I don't think Tim Keller was just tweeting and I read one of his tweets and it said, you're a child of God. God doesn't kick you out of the family just because you had a bad week. I thought that's so true. But some of us feel like that sometimes. If I screw up enough, God will stop loving me and God will kick me out of the family. God will fire me, as it were. God never does that. God doesn't kick you out just because you had a bad week. When you stumble and you fall, you get up the next morning and you remind yourself, I am a child of God. I've given my life to Jesus Christ and I've been made new and I'm gonna start walking in that newness of life that reflects my new identity. Second thing, find community. Find community. You know what the funny thing about blind spots is that you can't see yours. And I can't see mine. If I, to step back into our analogy for a moment, if I show up at Wendy's and I've got the Wendy's apron on, but I'm wearing the Taco Bell hat, you know, I can't really, I can't really tell that I'm wearing that hat. I can't really see what hat I'm wearing. But you know who can? All of my coworkers. They can look at me in one moment and say, hey man, do you know that you're wearing the wrong hat? And before I spend the whole day wearing the wrong hat, they can help me out. Hey man, you're wearing the wrong hat. When you're isolated and alone, you can't see your blind spots. That's why they're called blind spots. When you're isolated and alone, you will very easily, and I will very easily drift. It's very easy to backslide when you're alone. It's very easy to find yourself drifting and you don't even realize that you're drifting because you got no one around you to help you out or tell you. But when you've got community, it is much harder to drift. It's a whole lot harder to drift when you're surrounded by people. When you're surrounded by people locked arm in arm who are pursuing Jesus Christ, there's momentum there. There's accountability there. There are people who can look at you in your life and say, hey man, you're wearing the wrong hat. Do you see this happening in your life? Do you realize what's kind of going on here with some of this gossip? Do you see, and do you even see your rage problem? Do you see what's going on in your life sexually? Do you see how this doesn't match up with the gospel? You've said that you've loved Christ. How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Do you realize what's going on here? And you've got the opportunity to do that same thing in other people's lives. Not in judgment, but in love. To look at them and say, hey, do you even see that you're wearing the wrong hat? We need community in our lives. I believe again that the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to us and convicts us, but I've seen it in my own life and I see it in scripture that the Holy Spirit oftentimes speaks to other people through other people. That God will speak to you and he'll speak to me through our friends, through our community, through our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to have community or we are very prone to drifting. LifePoint has an answer for this when it comes to community. It's not the only answer. It's not the only way to do this, but we try to do it and we try to do it very well, and that's life groups. A couple of weeks ago, our summer term launched. We do 12-week terms, the few weeks break in between. And two weeks ago, our summer term launched. It is still a fantastic time. If you do not have community, to take this step and say, I wanna get in to a group. A lot of these groups are only meeting every other week. So this would be their second meeting this week. And over the summer, probably a commitment of six times where you'd say, okay, I'm gonna jump into this group. So if this is your first time here or you've never been to life groups before, I would say, give it a chance. If you want community, if you look at yourself and you say, I know that I'm isolated. I know that I've got no one around me to help let me know, hey, you're wearing the wrong hat. Give this an opportunity. If you're here and you've been here for a while and you've never stepped into life groups, here's what I would ask of you. Why? What's your excuse? If you're anything like me, I'm guessing it's something along these lines. Man, I'm just too busy. Let me ask you this. When in the last 5 years have you not been busy? When in the next 25 years will you not be busy? On your current pace, you will join a life group when you're retired. If you've been here for a while and you've maybe been in a group before, but you've stepped out of it for a while and you say, man, I'm meaning to get back into it. I would say, take this opportunity right now to do this. And here's how I'm gonna say to do this, right? You've got probably a listening guide when you came in, right? And you say, okay, Kale, I know I want community, right? I'm intending to do this. There's a LifePoint connection card right here and it's got life groups right there. If you know, right now, Kale, I know, I've got no excuses left. I know that the summertime is when I can do this. I would say, fill this out. Put your name in there. Put a way we can contact you. Put life groups on there. When you're leaving this morning, you can drop it off in one of the black boxes. You can take it to Guest Central. We will do everything that we can to help you take this step and find community in your life. If you're here this morning though and you're saying, okay, Kale, I really wanna take this step, but I just know the summer is a disaster for me. We've already made too many commitments. We're gonna be gone for 6 weeks, whatever it is. Then I would say, look to the fall. We'll be launching again in September for our fall term. And here's what I would say to do. Because here's the thing, right? You know and I know that the best of intentions without a plan and without an actual step remain what? The best of intentions. So do this, fill this card out now, take this step right now, fill it out, put in life groups and write fall. And we'll know, okay, they're not committing to the summer, but they are saying, I want information about how to get aligned with a group in the fall. And we'll do everything that we can to help you take that step and to find community. So those two things, remind yourself of the gospel every single day. When you wake up in the morning, you speak to yourself the truth. If I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am a new creation. And you find community. You take a step to walk with other believers where you're not isolated and you're not so easily prone to drifting. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, as we come before you this morning, and as we leave here today, God, I pray for those who consistently have spoken to themselves unhelpful and untrue things. God, I pray that they'd start reminding themselves of who they are in you. God, help me to do this. God, we're all prone to doing this. Help us to speak to ourselves the truth of the gospel. And God, as we do that, help us to take some hard looks at our lives. And God, through your Holy Spirit, convict us of these areas, whether it's what we're doing with our finances or what we're doing in our sexual lives or how we're handling relationships, God, as far as our anger and our rage. God, whether we're gossiping about other people. God, all these things that you say, these things belong to your old life and you've put on the new self. God, remind us of that, that because we have a relationship with you, that we really can start to live differently and we need to live differently. You want the best for us, Father. So God, help us. God, help us to find community for those who are teetering on the edge this morning, thinking about, should I or should I not? I don't know what it's gonna look like. Father, don't let us make decisions motivated out of fear. God, help us to make decisions motivated out of faith. Give us a faith that overwhelms our fear. As we just stay in that spirit of prayer, I wanna speak to those of us this morning who you'd say, I don't know that I've ever been given this new identity. I said earlier, before you start trying to live a new kind of life and follow the rules and regulations, you need a new relationship. You need Christ in your life. This morning, God is calling you. And he's saying, I want to give you a new gig. I want to give you a new identity. And all you have to do is say yes. And the way that you say yes is by repenting. You turn from your sin and you turn toward Jesus. And you believe that he is the Son of God and that what he did at the cross is enough for you, and that by trusting him, that he'll save you and forgive you, and he will make you completely new. So as we just stay in that spirit of prayer, if you wanna take that step this morning and say yes to Jesus, you can pray this with me. Lord, I recognize how broken I am, and I recognize how lost I am. And God, I recognize that without you, I'm stuck. This morning, I'm saying yes. This morning, I return from my sin and I'm trusting Jesus Christ with my life. I believe that you're the Son of God and that you saved me when you died at the cross, that you paid for my sin, and that by trusting you, you will make me new. If you prayed that with me right now, just as we're still heads down, nobody's looking around. Scripture is pretty clear that that's a personal decision, not necessarily a private decision. And so I would just ask, if you prayed that with me for the first time this morning, would you just slip your hand up really quickly? You just slip it up and let me know. Thank you. Just slip it up and let me know. I prayed with you. You can slip it up and slip it right back down. Nobody's gonna point at you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we do thank you for everyone, Father, who's taken that step this morning. God, we pray for us as a body of believers that as we leave this morning, we take intentional steps to pursue you and to live out our lives as sons and daughters of God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.